Our moderator, Brianna Santoro. Brianna is a longtime CANNP member and supporter. She comes to us with an impressive list of credentials in the business and nutrition sectors. Brianna is an educator, author, and the founder and chief product undresser at The Naked Label. Brianna.
Thank you. Whoa, what an exciting night. So many faces, and our Jays are playing their fifth game, right? Well, congratulations to everyone who came out. This shows that you're really putting nutrition, your careers, your clients first, and I think that that's really fantastic. So also, thank you, Beth, for that really warm introduction. I am thrilled to be here tonight with all of you. I think we're going to have a really fun night. We've got five incredible speakers. And, you know, it's interesting. I've been in this industry for about 5 years now, going on my sixth year. And one thing that I have seen for sure is that nutrition is on the rise, right? People are becoming more and more interested in nutrition. I was on Google Trends the other day. Has anyone ever been on that website, Google Trends? You can type in a word, and it will allow you to see how it's been trending over the past number of years. So I thought, well, for fun, I'll type in some of our fan favorites. So I typed in the word kale. Well, my goodness, the chart is just going off the charts, we'll say. So it starts way down low, and it's kind of bumbling along, and then interest just skyrockets. I was actually speaking earlier today at a corporate event and asked the room, you know, who here has eaten kale? And every single person put up their hand. And I just thought, wow, isn't this such a unique thing? I mean, 10 years ago, you just wouldn't see that. You can find it in the grocery stores, in the restaurants, and so on and so forth. Another word I typed in, quinoa. I mean, this is something that I'm sure everyone in this room has in their cupboards. But 10 years ago, it was a funny word people didn't know how to pronounce. So the exciting thing is, like I said, nutrition is on the rise. And I'm thrilled about this event tonight because I think it's going to give you a great opportunity to harness this interest in nutrition and really be able to utilize that to help you grow your business and as well to better help your clients. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce to you our first speaker, which is actually a dynamic duo. So you get both of them tonight, which is incredible. Now, we've got Drs. Robin Murphy and Dr. Emily Fitzgerald here. And I'll just tell you a little bit about these two incredible women so you can get to know them before they come up. Dr. Robin Murphy is a naturopathic doctor, a medical consultant, and a researcher with a passion for educating both healthcare professionals and the public in advances of integrative medicine. Working with those at the forefront of their industry, Dr. Murphy has worked and trained with the best in lifestyle, genomics, and adjunct cancer care. In addition to degrees from the University of Alberta and the CCNM, Dr. Murphy has received certifications in IV therapy, biological medicine, and Chinese herbology. Joining her today is Dr. Emily Fitzgerald, also a naturopathic doctor, entrepreneur, and passionate health advocate, like many of you in this room. As a naturopathic doctor with a special commitment to working with young women and individuals in transitional phases in their lives, Dr. Fitzgerald believes that health and happiness come down to discovering who you are. I agree. She has worked in private practice for 5 years and has spent the last year of her practice focusing on genomics and how they apply to her female patients. I'd like to give a warm welcome to them today as they're going to talk about how genetics is influencing the practice of nutrition. Let's hear it for them.
Thank you.
Hey.
Hi, everybody. So just raise a hand just so we can gauge the audience here. How many of you are familiar with genetics? Either a course or, you know, a webinar, anything like that. Great. And then how many out of this crowd are using genetic testing in their business? Okay, even better. So we're going to get you comfortable. This is just kind of an initial introduction into genetics and how it can be used to advance your client care. As well as your business. So just so that we're on the same playing field, genetics is really about, or I should say genomics, is really about the study of our genome. So studying how all of our DNA, all of that information affects the structure, the function, everything that makes us human. And so it starts with DNA. DNA is made up of base pairs, and these base pairs are made up of four letters. So it's going to be A, C, T, and G. And so this the sequence of these is determines the code of your DNA. So this is really the blueprint. This is all of the information that your body needs to function, and it's pretty incredible. There's 3 billion base pairs, so those letters, there's 3 billion of them in our DNA, and this is jam-packed into 23 chromosomes. So each of us have all our DNA jam-packed, and if we string it end-to-end, it can actually go back to the moon
Wait,
and back.
Let's get them to guess.
Yeah.
How many times?
So, yeah, if I were to string your DNA end-to-end and go to the moon and back, how many times do you think it would repeat itself? 150 times.
No way.
So it's a lot of DNA. And what's interesting is all of our DNA, if we compare it between you and I, everybody throughout the whole world, 99% of it is exactly the same. So there's only 1% of it that's really variable. And that's what we're interested in. So the differences that you see in your characteristics, in your hair color, in your eye color, and then down to our biochemical differences, our predisposition to disease, how we transport nutrients, how we digest our nutrients, this is all within that 1% of variability. And so what we're looking at is something called a SNP. So is everyone familiar with the term SNP? Or this is single nucleotide polymorphism. This is when we have a gene, the gene code, one of those letters is changed. That's it, just one letter. And so in our whole genome, there's about 12.5 million SNPs. And this is what genetic companies are looking at. They're looking at the changes in your genes that will have a functional effect. So this is affecting how our vitamins are transported. It's affecting how our vitamins are absorbed, how our foods are digested, how our enzymes function. And what we're finding through the discovery of all of this genetics and all this information is that it's really giving us a true insight into the individual, into why some people get a disease and others don't. Why is it that we have such similarities in our genetics and in our environments, but some people get really sick and others don't? So this is starting to give us some really good information about differences in nutrients and dosages, as well as in lab values.
Some of the most interesting things we've learned is in mental emotional health and understanding why some people are so sensitive to stress and others are just not, and why some people emotionally ruminate and create lists in their head and their husbands don't and they walk away and they're just fine. So I think understanding that aspect of it too is really cool, because it's beyond, the nutrient is amazing, but it's beyond that that we can start to appreciate and treat our individuals that way.
So when we look at genetics and specifically to nutrition, there's two different terms that you have to be familiar with. One is nutrigenetics. And this is really how your genes affect your nutrition, how it affects your diet. How if I have a genetic variant in, say, the vitamin D binding protein, this is actually changing how that vitamin D binding protein binds vitamin D and transports it around your body. And for some, this is very inefficient. And it leads to poor vitamin D binding protein concentrations in the blood, as well as it can predict low vitamin D levels. And so otherwise healthy individual, they can be walking around for years and years vitamin D deficient. And there's no real warning signs or signals until they get a chronic disease. And there's lots of chronic diseases associated with this. Autoimmune disease, cancers, cardiovascular disease. So why not, if you had that information and you were able to see that someone was predisposed to low vitamin D levels, then you can start a preventative informed treatment. So instead of giving everybody vitamin D, which some could argue was probably good in Canada, however, we're individualizing it. We're informing our customer, our client, as far as why we're giving the supplements and why they need it.
And it also may not show up in a lab, right? Because we don't look at the intracellular vitamin D. We're looking at what's floating around. But so someone could look like they're okay on their vitamin D blood levels, but they're really actually very deficient. We were just talking about a study on the way here that highlighted that in chronic disease. So it is something that's important for us to understand in the individual and make those unique recommendations to them.
So what we see in research, which is interesting, is that, I'll go back to the vitamin D, is these certain variants, when you give an individual, say, 400 IUs of vitamin D, the individuals who have the genetic variant that causes low vitamin D, they actually don't respond to dosing the same way that the others would. And so with this, you would then be able to recommend with confidence and be able to argue as to why you need higher doses for these individuals, because you really want to support getting their vitamin D levels up. What they also showed in a study looking at vitamin D receptor, and this is just showing some of the interactions that we see with genes and how to interpret it all together, is that vitamin D receptor at-risk variants or variations in this will affect how the vitamin D is transported into the cell and the effects of it. And what we find is that those with an aberrant or change in their vitamin D receptor, even though these individuals had normal vitamin D levels, they actually had a deficiency in intracellular vitamin D. And so they were still at an increased risk for vitamin D deficiency-related diseases. And so what the authors and the researchers were concluding from this is that there needs to be this individualized dosage recommendation according to genetics, but also it gives us insight into why we see this U-type association with disease. With low vitamin D levels, we see a high risk of disease, but with high vitamin D levels, we also see a high risk of disease. So it's starting to give us some of this information as to why we're seeing the trends that we are. Some of that deeper understanding from a genetic variability.
Yeah, and a lot of clinicians ask me all the time, well, you know, how does it really change my treatment? You know, am I going to just still do the same thing regardless? And I think it's important that you know, and I mean, we all talk about the root cause, and as naturopaths, and I'm sure as nutritionists, you want to know on an individual level what is really going on for this individual. So vitamin D is one example, but vitamin B12 is, I'm sure, I get asked about this all the time in clinic. You know, my daughter's a vegetarian. Should she be a vegetarian? Should she not be? So, I mean, the applications of genomics are so widespread, and I think with your community, this is going to be something that is going to be important for you to be on top of, because people are going to start asking you, well, what does this mean for me? And I think if you get on the forefront now, I mean, Robin and I have had the pleasure of spending a whole year concentrated really working on this. We're excited to share more.
Yeah. So the last piece is nutrigenomics, where our diet can actually affect the genes. So there's powerful substances in our foods, in our supplements, in our botanical herbs, whatever you're using. There's a lot of research to show how things like turmeric can actually affect detox genes expressions. It can slow down our phase one of detoxification. It can speed up phase two and really help balance the body in these profound ways. So, you know, it's part of the root cause, but we also have to keep in mind how it's interacting with our environment. The environment is going to decide how the genes are upregulated, downregulated, turned on and off. And so it's a piece of the puzzle. And we just want to remind everyone to be humble, to use this as a tool. And it's definitely a powerful tool to see the individuality with your clients. But it's also to be used with their family history, with a full, you know, comprehensive intake, as well as it can help direct labs and future treatment.
Actually, let's just ask one more question. Yeah. Who here thinks they are fast caffeine metabolizers? Who can, like, have a glass of coffee before bed and then go to bed and they're fine, right? Do you know that if you are fast doing that and you drink or you take turmeric or maybe you eat a meal that's got a lot of curry in it, that night significantly slows down that ability for the caffeine to move through your body, so you're going to have probably a sleepless night that night. So if anyone is worried about that. It's a cool interaction that we often give, and it is part of the detox system. So,
turmeric and curcumin?
Yeah, usually they use turmeric or curcumin.
Yeah.
Kind of just a little fun thing.
Yeah.
And Robin and I are putting, Dr. Murphy and I are putting together a webinar series for all of our practitioners to really get to know this in an in-depth level, but a level that you'll understand and a level that you'll be able to communicate to your patients. So if that's something you guys want to know about, you can ask us later. And
we always listen to
there's a sign-up sheet.
Yes, there's a sign-up sheet at the back. So we're open to discounts for CAN members and anyone who signs up today. And then we also love to give the practical handouts for your business. So that's also included, as well as a free membership for continual updates and research. So just so that you can have an edge on your, you know, not colleagues, I want everyone to work together, but at the same time, you're keeping up with research and advances in medicine. So any questions?
So how can, maybe you can just explain a little bit about how we would be able to get this sort of thing tested for clients and get this information to be able to utilize in practice.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting, and you can tell how, you know, how much advances and how much consumers are asking for genetics and that individuality because of the literally thousands of genetic companies that are popping up everywhere. So there's quite a few of them. You know, I'm always welcome to talking with one of you individually and seeing what your needs are as far as your genetic testing and what you specialize in. There are some companies that just specialize more in nutrigenomics, which is this dietary plans, macronutrient-based and nutrient-based recommendations based on genetics. And then there's others that get into more of detox pathways and methylation.
Hormones.
Yeah. And so there's literally thousands.
And it's based on blood tests?
Oh, yeah. So you can do a blood test, and then what's tested is your white blood cells. You get the DNA from there, or you can do a buccal cell or saliva sample. Just depends on the company.
How expensive is the testing?
That also ranges. So I've seen testing anywhere from $275, $399, up to $800.
And that will just do one of these sections? Or?
It depends on the panel.
But one of the points that you've made to me, Robin, is that once they get the test done for their client, that's it for life.
Yeah, your genetics don't change.
Well, yeah, so depending on what variants you've tested, right? So yeah, your genes never change. Expression.
Yeah. So remember, there's 12.5 million SNPs in our genome, and we're just really at the forefront of discovering what all of this means. Out of all of the DNA that we have, there is, you know, so much variability, but also so much that we also need to learn. So now is really the opportune time to get in and start learning this, because next 5 years is just going to be an explosion of information. So the earlier you get in, the easier it is to keep up and just keep ahead of the game when it comes to this type of advances.
What will the report on things that are not changeable, that so you're just aware of things that may happen to you, or will it be reporting things that you might be able to influence through your behaviors, like your diet?
That's an excellent point. So a lot of the SNPs or the variability, they will be non-functional. They won't have any effects, and they'll have association with disease. But at this point, they don't know enough.
I didn't understand that.
Sorry.
So the variants that we're most familiar with have a functional reality, which means that they have an actionable step. So if you have a certain variant or a certain, let's just say you have...
For instance, a detox gene... GSTT1, it's one of our phase 2 detoxifiers, you can be missing that gene. So you know that you need to upregulate other detox genes. So you give something like NAC, because this is perfect for upregulating glutathione, which we know is going to help the rest of the glutathione enzymes. And that these people are going to be more susceptible to, say, heavy metal toxicity. And so you're going to want to adjust their lifestyle to make sure that they're not exposed to heavy metals. You also want to get test them for heavy metal toxicity. So it helps guide you into kind of the complexities of the individual sitting in front of you. So the report, to answer your question, will tell you the gene. It will tell you what your variation is and what the outcome is. And then hopefully, not a lot of reports that I've come across. This is kind of where I've started to gain interest in, is just interpreting these reports for nutritionists and healthcare providers. But some of them will give you recommendations of how to change those genes and those outcomes. So there's actionable items. Yeah.
Or methylated information, right? So even in terms of choosing particular supplements or vitamin forms. Mm-hmm. We have some guidance there as well, mm-hmm. with the results from the tests.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. So, it's very interesting when you get into these biochemical pathways, say methylation. For those who aren't familiar with methylation, it's what controls our cell cycle regulation or our cell cycle turnover so that we're allowed to make new cells. When you have problems in this, you have problems in gastrointestinal health, muscle repair, mood, behavior, hormones, detoxing. There's so many different widespread effects. But for these individuals, we know some of them are going to be very sensitive to methyl forms of B12. So in that case, we're going to know that they want to use something like a hydroxy or an adenine B12 so that you are preventing aggravation before it starts. It takes out some of this trial and error approach. So that's a good example. It can help to guide you as far as what kinds of nutrients you're giving to your patients. Mm-hmm.
We can answer more questions at the end. I think we're out of time.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That was awesome. I know I definitely want to go get my genes tested. I'm sitting there thinking, I wonder if I'm vitamin D. Everything they said, I was thinking, does that apply to me? Does it not apply to me? Right? Everyone's probably sitting there thinking the same thing.